You're listening to the best of Chad Benson.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man. I'm looking to see how people freak out over the cabinet choices and what Trump's doing. And it's, do you guys not understand? This is, people ask me all the time, why do you hyper-focus on some of this stuff? All the other talk show hosts hyper-focus on this stuff. Because do you really care? I was talking to somebody the other night. I pulled out my phone and I said, do you know who this person is? And it was Kellyanne Conway. And they're like, nope. You know who this person is? It was Steve Bannon. Nope. If these people walked into your house right now, you wouldn't know who the hell they are unless you're just one of those avid people that are just 24/7 on this stuff. I'll care when it's time to care. I will. That's why I care about local stuff more, because that stuff's more important to you. It's what I tell you all the time. Care about that. Care about those things. Yes, politics is important to a certain extent. But the way that we do this nowadays is insane. In fact, you know what? Let me show you. This is what's hilarious. I was reading this study. It's talking about politics and what's important to us. I found this to be fascinating. Wi-Fi is now more important to us. Get ready for this. Than sex and alcohol. In fact, it is rated as number one human luxury or necessity. That is where Wi-Fi is. That's why I don't hyper-focus on this stuff. That's why I don't sit here and overdo this stuff. Because the truth is, it's good to talk about it. It's fun. And when it was, you know, we talk about it when it was time to talk about it. I don't know how news people, like on CNN and Fox and MSNBC, I don't know how they spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, drawing on about this and looking for something. They're creating headlines to try to get people excited because they have time to fill. I care about what I care about. I think a lot of people do. I found this to be fascinating. We're at a point in our lives now. Think about this. We're at a point in our lives where we are so interactive in so many ways. I read an article last week that the sex of the future, if you will, the robots, and they're coming, are so much, it's crazy. Article last month, what? Women prefer their phones over their men. We prefer Wi-Fi, and we consider it no longer a luxury, we consider it a necessity. More so than sex and human interaction, and alcohol and chocolate. That's where we have landed. We have gotten to this point now where these things, this thing right here, is more important. I find that fascinating. That, to me, peers into the human psyche of where we're headed. All this other stuff is just what it is. It's noise. There's times we talk about stuff that I think are real and that we need to discuss. Talked about immigration last year. That's real because it affects all of us in some way, shape, or form, whether we have people that are here legally or illegally that are part of our family, whether that we have, you know, dealings with people that are here illegally or whatever it is. It's like everything else that's in most people's lives. It can affect us, and we tend to be around that more. Wi-Fi is one of those. That is a necessity now for people. We've talked about it ad nauseum when it comes to our phones. Your phone, my phone, we will go back to our house to get our phone. If we don't have a wallet, we'll leave and go, screw it, I'll get it later. Oh, it's no big deal. Because we are so connected. We're not sleeping at night because our phones are next to our bed. And what is it, like 70% of us wake up at least one time a night, not to pee, but to check our phones. Guilty. I don't know what it was like without a phone. Can you remember, Phil, what it was like not to have a cell phone?
I can remember what it was like, and it was a simpler time.
It was a simpler time. It was very much like Little House on the Prairie. It was. That's why. I love talk. You know, politics, and I still be, you break it down, and again, it's that small piece of pizza is what politics is, and you just take a bite of that small piece of pizza because you've filled up on everything else. This I found fascinating because this just peers into the psyche of human beings that we're at the point now that we are so connected, yet we've never been further apart. When I was sitting today, and I'm sitting inside this, you know, waiting to go into the courtroom, and we're all sitting there, and there's probably 75 people, maybe 100 people in this area. Not one human being was talking to somebody else. Everybody was engaged on their phone. And the ones that weren't were either talking to their attorney, and the minute their attorney left, they were right back to their phones. Or they were older and didn't have a phone. I can't remember. When's the last time you went phone free? When's the last time you said, you know what? I'm not touching my phone. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to. When is the last time that you went and you decided, I'm not doing any of that? Because we're addicted. That's why I find this interesting. Who Trump may potentially name? Did you hear Mitt Romney? Maybe, you know, Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State, or he may be Secretary of Agriculture, or he may be. I don't care. Do you care? Tell me when he makes a decision. I don't. Well, they hated each other. That was different. This is totally different now. They hated each other a while back. Everybody, guess what? When you win, you put everything behind you and you move on. That doesn't tell me about human psyche. That stuff interests me. Four out of ten. Phil, if I told you you could have sex or play with your phone, what would you do?
Sex.
There you go. Maybe it's a guy. It's four out of ten, right? Maybe they asked five women and five men, and the five men are like, sex, and the four women are like, phone, and one woman's like, sex. But even more so than chocolate or alcohol, it's amazing. It's insane. This is the thing that I find interesting. I eat this stuff up. And you know what? When I do these things, you'd be surprised how many people come to me and or text me or they'll call me and they'll say, yeah, I couldn't live without my phone. I can't live without Wi-Fi. I can't live without this. I can't. It's insane. Get on an airplane. Go to a movie theater before it even starts. Even while it's on. People, they turn down their screen so it's dim. We are now living in a world where this is our true crack. This is our true, yeah?
I'm sorry, I did not pay $13 to sit and stare at my phone.
No, but you know what, Phil? A lot of people like to do both. Like, I know it, like a perfect example is everybody's going to go home tonight, they're going to watch their favorite TV show, you know, whatever it is. They're going to sit there and they'll either have their tablet in front of them or they'll be checking their phone. And what used to be a thing where everybody was gathered around watching, you know, families, this, that, and the other. Now it's, you know, the kids are doing their own thing. Or even if they're sitting next to you, everybody's on their phone and they're watching something and they're interacting with it. They're tweeting about it. They're talking about it. They're conversing. They're doing numerous things. Same thing. Go to breakfast on a Sunday. You know, used to see that neat little old couple in the corner. Right. And they're both ones, you know, she's reading a book. He's reading the paper. Now they're both on a tablet or a phone. This to me is just, it's incredible to watch how the world's unfolded. And we're only going to get worse. We're only going to become more dependent. We're only going to become obsessed more by it. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I love the fact that I have access to people, to the world, to news. And it is. It's weird. It's a weird addiction. We talked about distracted driving yesterday. Guilty. Everybody's guilty. It's crazy. But I just find this, I found this to be just like, when I looked at this and I thought to myself, this is what we've become. And then we wonder why we have a reality show for an election. Because we've become a reality. We've become so dependent on something that 10 years ago, 15 years ago was unheard of. Now we've become so dependent upon it. It's amazing. I find it fascinating. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Every day at this hour, we do a thing called So What's Next? And I break stuff down for you. Today, what's next is the Democrats. Where do they go and how do they go there? Very important. Text the show 323-538-2423. And of course, call the show 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-DIG-CHAD. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the best of Chad Benson. You're listening to the best of Chad Benson.
We'll get to what's next in a moment. People texting in 323-538-2423. Cell phone addiction, self at center of it all. Nothing more important than self to most. Boom. I see that. Another texter writes in and says, 3 times a year, go camping out in the woods for 3 or 4 days, taking no electronics. It's a good way to detox in a lot of ways. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can also call the show 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Daniel in Indiana, Wi-Fi over sex?
Wi-Fi.
So you would choose Wi-Fi?
Unfortunately, I would. I know that that's really, really bad. But
why?
I would.
Why would you do that?
Because I have a loving wife, and between that and her, I would always choose her, but she knows that in order to have any kind of communication with us or our son, we always have to have our phone, which sometimes if you're not able to get cell phone reception, you can still get on the internet, so you can still need Wi-Fi.
That's true. That's true, man. I appreciate your call. Thanks so much. It's crazy. It is crazy. Wi-Fi over sex. Bill and I are not doing Wi-Fi, but man, if you have no game, then I get it. Daniel's got a wife, so he's obviously had some game. But if you have no game, I understand. But if you got some game, I don't know. I don't know. So what's next for the Democrats? They're going to regroup. You know, 6 weeks ago, if you would have said who was not only in the lead, but which party looks stronger, everybody would have pointed at the Democrats. But the Democrats were one of these people that on the outside, they looked great, but on the inside, they were jelly. You know, hard on the outside, soft on the inside. Well, the Republicans were a bit mushy, but a little bit more concrete on the inside, and were able to withstand some stuff. So what's next for the Democrats? Well, first of all, they need to figure out what went wrong, and it was pretty easy. First things first is it was the laziness in some ways of Hillary Clinton. It was an assumption that the people that have always voted for the Democrats would always vote for the Democrats. So why try? Secondly, it was a poor choice in the way that she campaigned, meaning she went to places like New York and California, where if she never set a foot in either of these places, wouldn't matter. She won it. Donald chose not to go to these places because he knew he wasn't going to win. He stayed away from places that he knew he wasn't going to win. But aside from that, the Democrats need to figure out what their party's going to be about. So what's next for the Democrats, I think, is the fact that they're going to have an infight. There is going to be a self-discovery over the next several months as they replay this over and over again and start to break it down. And I think they're going to decide to themselves, are we going to be a group that is going to be progressive and have the enthusiasm? Or are we going to be a group that is going to continue to be the political kind of group and pander to certain people, but not to others? They have a big decision to make, a very big decision to make. So what I see next for the Democrats is the fact that they're going to have to figure out a way to get white working class voters excited about them again. White working class voters who many of them voted for the likes of Barack Obama and chose to stay away because the Democrats abandoned them. and they need to figure out how they're going to get them back. The other thing I find interesting with the Democrats is there is an assumption that just because we're becoming a more diverse, if you will, a browner country, a more mixed country, that automatically that they're going to get everybody that comes from different countries or everybody that is a certain ethnicity to always vote for them, which isn't always true. And secondly, that the young will always be there for, that this massive millennial generation will only be liberal and progressive and won't change. But we've seen it in pretty much every generation. And that is that you start out somewhat liberal, you start out somewhat of a progressive kind of person, but as you get older and start to hit your mid-30s and 40s, you start paying taxes, you start owning things, you find that you become a little bit more conservative in your ways, start to have a family. The one good thing, if you will, for the Democrats is the millennial generation is unlike any other generation, not only in the size, but also in the fact that these other generations did own things, did settle down, did get married, did have families, where this millennial generation isn't a generation that I think is going to actually do as much as that. Marriage is down big time, and you won't see it probably. Kids are going to be down. Home ownership will be down because they want to have the freedom to travel. So while there may be a worry that, hey, they'll get, as you know, a little bit older, they get a little bit more conservative, the truth is they're not like any other generation. But there are also a lot of libertarians inside of there. So what's next for the Democrats is simply this. They're going to have to look deep inside themselves and find out, are they going to become a super ultra progressive party that leans more towards socialism than being a Democrat and wants government to be the epicenter of everything? Or are they going to go back to what Democrats screamed and yelled about and fought for many years and many decades? It's going to be interesting to see what happens to them. That's for sure. That's what's next. We do it every day at this hour, at this time. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the best of Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the best of Chad Benson.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
People still texting me. You can always do that. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, life before cell phones was so much simpler. Kind of nice. Absolutely. We were talking about earlier that more people now would choose Wi-Fi over sex, chocolate, alcohol. Basically, they see it as a necessity. Rather than that it's an absolute must to have. So I find that to be hilarious. It's kind of sad, though, but it is kind of in some ways hilarious. Housing is important. And you know what? As we talk about housing, we look at the labor market, you know, we're at a 43-year low as far as, first-time applications for unemployment benefits, maybe a rate hike next month. Housing starts are surging to a 9-year high in October. Things are looking interesting, but we're not there yet, because remember, just because we talk about the jobs, always read through it. Yes, job claims are down, but the jobs that are out there, not many people are rushing to get because they can't afford to feed their family on it. And so you always have to temper certain excitement with stuff with the read between the lines. That's why I say get the stories, get all of the stories, put them together, mash them up and see what you come up with. But we'll see what happens. But I was looking at this, and I found this interesting because, again, the young aren't going to be buying homes like we did, like our parents did, like our grandparents did. That's not their end game. Their end game is to travel, to see the world, do a lot of different things, and eventually come back and maybe buy a house, but rather than a house, a condo or something like that. And that's one of the things. Home ownership, and when we have a great economy, it's usually because people are buying homes, because when people buy homes, what do? They go out, they got to furnish those homes. So you have a boom in the economy. We've got the 15 like big cities out there, largest cities in the U.S., and what it costs to what you have to make to buy a home in a medium price area in these big cities. Let's start with Washington, D.C. What do you think the medium price home is there, Producer Phil? You live out there. What do you think it is?
I am going to say it's about $400,000.
$393,000, man. Not bad, not bad. Monthly mortgage payment would be about $1,830. You need to have a salary of at least $78,000 to afford a home out there. And again, as we see job creation, remember, while people get excited about the numbers of the job creation, remember the jobs that were created and how much you have to make. You have to make $78,000. The medium income for is what, $50,000, $48,000? So you almost have to make double what it is. Producer Phil, look up what the medium income is
in
America. Yeah, just in America, just on average. Denver, Colorado, $386,000 medium price home, mortgage payment about $1,600, salary needed to buy $70,000.
Median income in the U.S., inflation adjusted, is $51,000.
So far, you're $28,000 and $20,000 short of that. Now, if you have two people working, but how many of you have $50,000 jobs and your spouse has $50,000 jobs? Seattle, Washington, median price home, $422,000. Monthly mortgage payment, $1,900. You need at least $81,000 salary to afford the median price home. And remember what you're getting for the median price home. Not a lot in a lot of these places. That's the thing. Boston, Massachusetts, $435,000 at the median price home, about $2,000 a month for your mortgage payment. Salary is going to be almost $87,000. Here's one we can all afford, kids. Detroit, Michigan, median price home, $170,000, monthly payment, $910,000, salary needed to buy, $39,000. And you know what's funny about this? I say this. This is something interesting. Millennials and even some Gen Xers are looking at places like Detroit as maybe a place to move to because opportunities to not only gentrify neighborhoods, but an opportunity to go somewhere where they'll be welcomed and it's not expensive to live. It's not expensive. You don't have to work as hard maybe to earn enough to purchase a home or to live comfortably. It's not always about just whether or not you own a house. It's about comfortability, right? I remember when the housing market exploded. I had too many friends who went out and they overbought and underdelivered in their life, meaning they could afford a house for X amount of dollars, but they bought a house for X, Y, and Z amount of dollars. And while they lived in the house, the truth is they were working for their home. Their home wasn't working for them. And I think that's the thing. In America, we used to look at the home as a retirement plan. Right? Maybe you get a little pension and you'd have your home paid off. You could live comfortably. It was the retirement plan that was your house. We don't have that now. People don't look at it because houses are so expensive. And because of the expense of homes, that a good portion of your income now goes to that. So you are working for the house. The house ain't working for you. Here's one. San Francisco. All right, Phil, throw this out there. Median price home in San Francisco, Producer Phil says?
$850,000.
$835,000. Your payment is $3,500 a month. You need at least a salary of $152,000 to buy a home. I was in San Francisco 2 weeks ago. Went up there for a couple of meetings in San Francisco and Sacramento. I wouldn't want to live in San Francisco. Not that I have anything against it. It's a beautiful city, but it's too crowded for me. But I will tell you this. A good majority of people live there cannot afford to live there. A good majority of people that live there. I have friends who make great money. They cannot afford to own a house. Anywhere else in the country, they're not living in just a house. They're living in an amazing house. Anywhere else in the country, they choose to live there. It's crazy. Dallas. Median price home in Dallas is $230,000. And I bet you get a decent home for that. $1,255 for your monthly payment. Salary needed, $53,000. Here's one. San Diego, almost 600 grand for the medium price home. You need $108,000 salary, and $2,500 a month is your payment. And this is the thing about San Diego. You're paying for sunshine. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for location and sunshine. Because in many of these places, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, all the, you're paying for location, nearest the beach, a big giant body of water that's salty. You're paying for being in a place where you have all the accoutrements, if you will. You have access to all kinds of things. But you're also paying for the fact that it's 360 days a year of good weather. Of great weather. Like Iowa's best day is like a Tuesday for San Diego. And that's what you're paying for. It's crazy. Phoenix, $235,000 is the median price home. Mortgage payment, $1,000 a month. Salary needed, $44,000. Philly, $234,000 there for a house. Mortgage payment, about $1,200. Salary needed, $53,000. Houston's right around the same. Chicago, I found this surprising. Chicago, median price home in Chicago, Phil, is only $244,000.
I don't want to live in Chicago.
I don't want to live in Chicago, but I found that I thought Chicago would be more expensive. I really did. Mortgage payment, $1,400. Salary needed, $61,000. Median price home in Southern California, Los Angeles, about $540,000. Monthly mortgage payment, $233,000. Salary needed, $100,000. And let me tell you something. Living around here, $536,000 for a house. You won't get a lot of house for that. You won't get, you'll get freeway near because you might be near the freeway. You'll get a semi-okay neighborhood. And you'll get two bedrooms, maybe three, one bath, small yard. And lots of traffic. That to me is like the biggest off-putting thing of living somewhere. Is the traffic. I hate traffic. Finally, New York. I thought New York would be higher. Almost $400,000 for a home there. Mortgage payment is about $2,000. Salary needed to buy is $85,000. But minus two of these, or three of these, Phoenix, Detroit, San Antonio, minus those, the average medium, you just can't afford it. And you're not think about property taxes. Think about all of these other things that get rolled up into this stuff. Your electricity, your Wi-Fi, your cable, your phones, your health insurance, your all of a sudden, so you make $100,000 a year and you can afford a medium price home, but you have a wife, you have a husband, you have a couple kids, you've got all of the things to go with that. You're living paycheck to paycheck, even if you're doing okay. That's crazy. That is crazy. This is the world we've lived in, though, before. And we're living in again. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes because they start to loosen some of the regulations. People start buying. They start looking at the house as an ATM machine. That's where we get ourselves in trouble. But when you look at that, it's no wonder people are always looking to leave. I love California for what California is as far as the landscape of it all, the beautiful weather, all of those things. I hate California for what it's become in its one-party system. And I hate the fact that it's ridiculously overpriced. And what you get isn't worth it. I've had so many of my friends move to places like North Carolina, South Carolina. They've moved to places that you know what? They said Michigan has been a big place. Holland, Michigan's been a big place. Because they're going places where they know that they can virtually make the same amount of money and not have to sweat it anymore. Crazy. It is. It's absolutely crazy. You know what else is crazy? You not listening to me when it comes to your health. No, I'm not a doctor. Stop asking me that. But I am somebody who takes Super Beats. And I worry about not only you, but me and everybody else because we're getting a bit older. We need to make sure that we are healthy. And the best way to do that is to listen to me when we talk about Super Beats. Why, Chad? Because it's about blood flow. There's a natural way to support healthy blood flow that starts by getting enough dietary nitrates into the body. You convert those things to nitric oxide. Super Beats is the way I do it. Let me tell you what I do. Take my Super Beats in the morning, and I'm ready to roll. I bounce around. I never have any dip in energy. I'm always flowing. I'm always going. Within 20 minutes, I feel the stamina. I feel the energy. It is incredible. One scoop into water or smoothie, and you're ready to go. Phil takes his right before we start the show.
Absolutely. Right before we start, I can feel it. I'm starting to drag a little bit in the afternoon. Take Super Beats. I feel good. I can feel the energy. I don't crash. And it tastes so good.
It does. Tastes delicious. Does not taste bad. I know what you're worried. Beats, Chad, they're disgusting. Secret is to helping support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. Super Beats helps us. Works three times faster to give you the results you can feel, and it tastes great. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. You're also going to get these things called nitric oxide indicator strips. Now, they're free to use before and after drinking Super Beats. Make sure it's working your body. You get a book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free. And everything comes to you with free shipping. Here's the great thing. It's guaranteed or your money back. What? Guaranteed or your money back. That's right. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com. Or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. One more time. Check this stuff out. Guaranteed your money back. It's called Super Beats. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. Selfie desk, Oxford word, and a humpback whale, and Jonah, Chad Benson Show.
This is the best of Chad Benson.
Your mama. That's right. I said your mama.
You're listening to the best of Chad Benson.
So here we are talking earlier about cell phones, talking about Wi-Fi, talking about things like that. This is amazing. Selfies. One nation leads the world by a wide margin, if you will, over the deaths of people taking selfies. By the way, USA came in third. Only 8 people were killed. Pakistan, 9. India, though, number one, 76 people have died taking selfies. Most of them were people taking selfies in places where obviously they shouldn't be taking it. But it's not, there was a few where people tried to take selfies in front of a train and things like that. You kind of get what you get there. I mean, that's, but people who were too close to a cliff, too close to a ravine, too close to things like that. Most of the people that were killed were under the age of 24. I don't know why I find that funny, but is it because you think most of them died from falling into a ravine, but in India... What do you think the second cause of death was, Phil, in India?
Falling off the train.
Getting hit by a train.
Because you always see those pictures of they're hanging on the outsides. And
it's insane, isn't it? Being hit by a train. And a lot of them were also water-related as well. So don't do that. I think the best thing to do is never to take a picture by a ravine on a train near an ocean, and the chances of you surviving will be tremendous. Tremendous. The Oxford Dictionary has chosen the word post-truth as their word of the year. Have you ever heard of post-truth?
I have not. I've never heard of pre-truth.
No, post-truth. Saying its use has spiked because of the Brexit vote in Britain and the rise of Donald Trump in the United States. Post-truth has gone from being a perennial term to being a peripheral term, to being a mainstay in political commentary, says Oxford Dictionary. It's increased usage by over 2,000%. What? So they said, fueled by the rise of social media as a news source and a growing distrust of facts offered up by the establishment, post-truth as a concept has been finding its linguistic footing for some time. Some of the other words that came in second... Brexiteer, interesting. Alt-right made the short list. An ultra-conservative grouping in the United States, they call it. Characterization by rejecting the mainstream politics and the use of online media to disseminate deliberately controversial content. I like Brexiteer. Hey,
That's
did
clever.
You speak... Yeah, I think so. Hey, speaking of something interesting and things, did you see that the McRib is back?
Again?
It's back, baby.
I just saw that they have a Sriracha Big Mac in Ohio.
Yeah, well, no, that's the new, that's the, McDonald's made this huge thing. It was, we've changed our recipe to this, and they've added Sriracha. That's not changing a recipe. That's adding something to it. But that's going to be something they're going to, I think, Sriracha, because that's a hipster thing, too. Sriracha is hipster. That's hipster hot sauce. That's what it should be called. Chad, you're a jerk.
No, you're truthful. You're post-truth.
I'm post-truth with pre-truth. You never want to be pre-truth. I'll tell you that right now. You never want to be pre-truthialation. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Oh, my goodness. We have lost control of this show. Humpback whale in Norway almost swallowed Jonah again. 35,000-pound humpback whale nearly swallowed a diver in the Norwegian Sea. It was caught on film. He's fine. Scary moment. The Chad Benson Show. What if he has sriracha on him? It's your Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the best of Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.